Someone once told me, said, Father, you only speak on the Gospels, and there is good material in the epistles, so why don't you choose an epistle to do a homily on? So I have been keeping my eye on the epistles with just that in mind. However, today's epistle is from the book of Romans, and if anyone has ever read this book, it's a highly technical book and notoriously difficult to develop a homily off of, because it's like reading a lawyer's treatise. I mean, it's very good stuff, but it's technical. This is technical, very technical. So part of our challenge in coming up with a homily is to make what we read accessible and relatable. And that's what I like to do. I like to play with that, as you might have noticed. I come up with a little hook and then sum up to describe the epistle or whatever in a scenario that we relate to, or at least I relate to a little bit better. So taking the text of Romans today, chapter 12, well, I have to look in that. I'm not good at remembering numbers like that. But taking the text today, I want to talk about the curve of Jesus Christ and how it affects our salvation. In effect, makes it entirely possible, because without the curve of Jesus Christ, none of us would pass the entrance exam into heaven. That's right, the entrance exam. You realize that this life that we're in now is really a test. It's a training ground. It's preseason camp. You know how I love football. It's preseason camp. This is where we're being watched and evaluated. This life right now. And we've talked about it in terms of theater. This is the warm-up. This is the preparation. Opening night is when Christ returns and the new heaven and the new earth are revealed. So this life is the test, all right? Now, as many of you here are students, right? We just finished up a recent academic period, and there are often end-of-grade exams at the end of a period, right? Being a disciple of Jesus Christ, disciple means student, really, we also have exams, right? We also have tests. And some of these tests are graded on a curve, right? And curves are a very beautiful thing. I want you to think about some curves. I want you to think about the curve of a scoop of ice cream, right? That's a nice curve, isn't it? What about the curve of a glass of wine? That's another nice curve, isn't it? How about this? This is better than those two put together. How about the curve of a smile on someone's face? Huh? Yeah, it didn't get any better than that. Curves are beautiful things. They really are. They are beautiful things. Now, taking that, the curve and this idea of a disciple and a student, now I'm going to segue into the text. The text says that all of us will be judged. We will be graded. We will be examined. We will be evaluated, right? The text says whether you're Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, black or white, smart or not smart, young or old, it doesn't matter. All of us will be graded. It also says that we will be graded at the level where we're at, right? Some people say, well, Father, what about somebody who grows up in a Muslim country and they don't know about Jesus or can't really effectively study because if they try to, they are persecuted? What about that person? What about if their faith is really just, you know, like this deep at their kindergarten level, let's say, because they just can't get to it? That's fine. God will evaluate us at the level where we're at, whether we're kindergarten or grad school or beyond, right? And just as an aside, by virtue of the fact that all of us are here in this building right now, Sunday morning, worshiping God, we have no excuses. We have no excuses. I, the least among you, we profess Christ, we study, we pray, we worship. When the time comes for our test, we can't say, I didn't know, you didn't tell me. We don't get to play that card. So He grades everyone. He grades them at the level where they're at. He also expects active participation. If you're a student, you've got to go to class, don't you? You've got to do the homework. You've got to at least try. You can't blow off class. You can't blow off church. You can't not love your neighbor and expect to pass the test. You just can't. Now, God also, in addition to expecting us to have an active faith, a growing faith, a working faith, He also looks at us in context. He looks at us individually. It's not socialized salvation. We're not graded as a group and say, oh, well, you know, Father Seraphim is really holy and, you know, we're buddies, so I'm going to just slide in on his coattails. That's not the way it works, and he is holy. And I pick on him, but that's not the way it works. We are graded individually. Individually. Now, that is not to say that Omer's prayers for me might not earn me a little bit of bonus points, a little extra credit on the exam, but that's really God honoring Omer more than He's honoring me. And I'm not going to pass the test based solely on anyone's prayers, but God, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we are graded individually. And we are also graded very deeply. I think the more I'm in this vocation as a priest, and I listen and talk to people, one of our challenges is learning to know who we are ourselves, who each of us is individually. How many of us really, really, in prayer, try to go down into the basement of our heart? How many try to go up into the attic of our heart? And do you go down there and do you turn on some lights and do you ask yourself, why did I do that? Why do I keep doing this thing I don't want to do? What's motivating me? Or do you avoid the whole subject and just say, I am who I am and I'm proud of it and I'm not going to change? That's what the world teaches. But no, we are supposed to look at our hearts. And God is going to judge us based on our hearts. It says in the text their conscience will accuse or perhaps excuse them. We know by and large a lot of what we do, whether we're making a real sacrifice or whether we're not, whether we're being selfish or not. And I think when that day comes and we stand before God, that book, our heart's going to be open and we're going to convict ourselves. I knew I shouldn't have done that, and I did it anyway, right? So we will be judged individually, and we will be judged according to our own hearts. That we can know. Now, it says elsewhere in the New Testament, when we go to heaven, we will know as we are known. We will know as we are known. And I suspect that that means we will know ourselves fully. Not so much that I'm going to know a frivolous stuff. I don't want to know a frivolous stuff. And I don't like the idea really much of a frivolous knowing my stuff, right? But I will know me as God knows me. I will go into that basement. I will go into the attic. And I will know why I do or do not do things, sins, mistakes. Or the good things too. The graces that God has given us. So who is our judge? We don't judge ourselves, right? We may convict ourselves by what's written on our heart. Is God the Father the judge? Nope. He's not the judge. He's not the judge. Because human beings, being the argumentative people that we are, someone would say, well, it's no fair. You judging, you don't know what it's like to be a human being. So guess what? He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, God who took human flesh, the God-man. Nobody can tell Jesus, you don't know what it's like to be a human being. Of course He knows. He took the test. Now, what is the test? How are we graded? We're graded on goodness. What is goodness? Goodness is loving God and loving neighbor. We tend to want to love self to the exclusion of other. And we have to struggle with this, most of us, all of our lives. Life is a growing process in self-sacrifice, in love and service to others. Starts at home, in our families, and extends outward into society. This is what we're graded on. We're graded on how much we love God and love others. That's it. That's being good, essentially. Now, that's the good news. God loves us. He's taught us what to do. That's what the church is about. The Bible, it's teaching us. Christ's example. He showed us how to do it. Guess what? We all fail. We all fail. Every one of us fails this test of perfect righteousness. Every one of us fails the test, the entrance exam to get into heaven. Every one of us, every religious and spiritual leader that's ever walked the face of this earth, that ever will walk the face of this earth, except one, Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus Christ. He alone was the perfect righteousness for God the Father. Oh boy, so what are we going to do? We've got a test. I mean, we got to take it. We don't have a choice. We do not have a choice. We've got to take this test. And we try as hard as we might. We're still not going to pass. But not only is He the test maker, He's the test taker. And He passed the test. If we accept Him, if we believe in Him, if we trust Him, if we give our fears and anxieties, our hopes and dreams to Christ, not knowing how it's going to turn out, that's part of it. That's what faith is. We don't know how it's going to turn out. If we give it to Him, we trust Him, it's going to be scary, it's going to be frightening. He never said it was easy. If we give it to Him, we get graded on His score, not ours. We are graded according to the curve of Christ. Right? Instead of my score, it gets bumped up by His curve. Guess what? Automatic 100. Welcome to your eternal blessings. The curve of Christ. We're all graded and all of us fail. The only way we're going to pass that test is in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not in the name of any other prophet. It's not in the name of any other teacher. It's in the name of Jesus Christ alone. So the curve, like ice cream, like the glass of wine, like the smile on someone's face, the curve of Christ, it's a beautiful thing, because with that, we pass the test and we enter the kingdom of God. Think about it. Amen.